me it gets better. Say that it gets better. O-P-S, I'm gay-ish.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gay-ish,
the podcast that wants to remind you, you never know who has a butt plug in their ass at any given moment. And this is a fact you're going to remember in the near future when talking to someone, and then you'll picture it and you won't be able to stop picturing it. And then you'll remember they're still talking. You haven't heard a word of what they've said for the past 5 minutes. So you just say, And that's how you got stuck making the turkey at some stupid Thanksgiving potluck, which, by the way, is one of the worst events to wear your butt plug to.
I have one little correction, though.
Okay.
You know, if you're wearing a butt plug, hopefully, it's other people.
It depends on the butt plug and the ass that you're talking about.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Goetz.
We're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today,
we're going to talk about fairies.
I'm very excited to talk about fairies.
Is that your one pun that you were like, ready to go?
I was sitting on that all day like a butt plug.
But first,
we have a couple of things to talk about up front.
Yeah.
You know, news and whatnot.
Per use.
So on YouTube, I discovered there is a 3-part web series that Jack Meridew is involved with. He's one of the twinks that I follow on YouTube that is sexy and fun. Anyway, it's called Gay-ish.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. And
there's a dash. So yeah, it's very different.
GAY-ISH. And it's actually really good. I watched all of it and I thoroughly enjoyed it. In the third episode, Alaska Thunderfuck, who's a really famous drag queen, gives this really, I think, important speech about gay people and our community, and that we should really be looking out for each other and taking care of each other. And we don't always do that.
Oh, I recently have been watching Insatiable on Netflix. It's a
nickname for your butt.
And interestingly, the butt plug that goes in it.
Great.
Just everything. It's like about beauty pageants in the South, and it's the most, it's like on the surface, very campy, but actually what?
You said pageants in the South, and I immediately smelled hairspray.
You can feel the child that got murdered in a pink dress. But it's like, although it's campy and like kind of hokey at first, it actually covers some really serious stuff, like a guy who's bi, someone who tries to start a polyamorous relationship, someone coming out after being married and trying to figure all that out. So it has some really interesting and deep concepts.
Wow.
And I think that's why they made it campy on the surface, so that you can, like, you don't have to just sit there in, like, sexual discomfort.
Interesting. I have had zero alcohol today, and I couldn't say the fucking word interesting.
I think that's why we do drink. So it's
loosen
just
up.
Lubricate. Yeah.
Lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue.
Mommy made me mash my M&Ms. We used to sing that in, like, elementary school choir to get warmed up.
I bet the kids whose moms were dead felt really bad about that.
They were like, she died because I matched the M&Ms.
Okay.
Anyway.
Off to a great start so far. We're doing so good. Okay. So next, we have to talk about Chechnya.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
he's so hot in the new American Horror Story.
Right? There are apparently gay concentration camps in the Republic of Chechnya now.
Which before, we kind of like vaguely heard about this, but it was more like people were being captured and maybe killed or maybe beaten and returned.
Yep.
So the fact, I think the concentration camp aspect to me is new, or that it's confirmed or something.
Yep. Reports have emerged that 100 or more gay men were detained and 3 killed in concentration camps last week. Novaya Gazeta, which is a Russian newspaper, said that several camps have been set up in Chechnya where gay men have been forced to promise to leave the republic. And tortured. They left out the torture part. Electric shocks and beaten to death in concentration camps, which is the first concentration camp known for homosexuals since Hitler's camps in the 1930s. So Kadyrov, the president, President Kadyrov, who is a big ally of Vladimir Putin, has ordered a clampdown, and he previously has encouraged extrajudicial killings of gay men. So he was encouraging non-law enforcement people or law enforcement people to just kill gay guys and not worry about it.
By non-judicial
extrajudicial.
Extrajudicial killings? Mm-hmm. So you mean murder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what the death penalty is called if you're not the government.
I still think about that sometimes and just laugh to myself.
But then at the same time, and I think this is hilarious, this is like new levels of Trumpian, your bullshit is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Kadyrov claims that there are no gay men in the Republic and denies the arrests ever took place. So he has camps set up for the people that don't exist.
Right, right, right. He has, he's stolen, kidnapped, put in camps, a group of people that are not real.
Mm-hmm.
He's asked no one to leave.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
killed no one because yep. he can't. Because
yep.
that they don't.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
Although I'm starting to think forcing all of those gay guys to leave Chechnya, say that they would leave Chechnya, they're really doing them a favor. Like,
they hopefully they'll. Well, yeah. Like,
get out.
And they're like, you even trying?
Yeah.
But like, hopefully they're. Well, I doubt there's any nicety going on. But like, you know, people that are there might be because they have family there, or they can't leave, or so like,
yeah.
you know, throwing that hardship on them and. You know, yeah, where are they going to go? And that should be something that like someone would take in those people because as refugees, because they are in imminent danger. But like, I don't know, go somewhere to go to Canada. I think like, don't yeah. come here if that's
yeah. Don't no. don't. Mm-mm. One of the things happening in the camps is they're being beaten in an attempt to force them to reveal other members of the gay community that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But I think I'm already on record, but I'm going to repeat it. If I am beaten to reveal the names of gay people, I'm going to fucking say every name I know.
Yep.
I'm just yep. going to sing like a bird.
Every name you know. Abraham Lincoln, George Carlton, Tommy Lauren. Yeah, I like it's this weird state. I mean, just like a lot of like politics in the news right now of this is a horrible thing on like Hitler level bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's I don't know. But how do
maybe Hitler level bad, just not at the same scope.
Yeah, sure.
At least not
yeah.
yet.
As soon as I said that, I was like, well, I don't know. Anyway, it's really bad is what I'm saying. Hot take. not great. But like what? Like I can't do anything. Like I don't know what it's like existing in this thing where, you know, this big moment in history and they're going to look back at how terrible it is. But like what it's this state of like I'm not going to fly over there or like,
yeah.
Or do you like, so do you raise awareness for it somehow or donate money to something or protest or I don't know what to do. And instead of looking it up or figuring it out what to do, I just complain about it.
I mean, on a certain level, vote blue and encourage people to vote blue. You gave money to Beto O'Rourke's campaign for Senate there in Texas, which
yeah.
I'm really proud of you for doing, by the way. And
thank you.
Like if we have a more blue government, maybe we won't leave the human rights part of the UN.
Yeah.
And we will pressure Russia and Chechnya to get their shit together.
We may actually place sanctions on
yeah.
countries that are doing shit like this instead of being like eh.
So start small and start local, like yeah. voting for Democrats, I guarantee, increases the chances that the United States will pressure those countries into getting their fucking shit together.
Yeah. I did Beto O'Rourke, if I have any listeners in Texas or with money.
Mm-hmm.
I very passionate about him in Texas and very excited. He's running against Fuck Brain McTweetwad.
Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz.
Thanks. I couldn't think of
Rafael Cruz.
Rafael Cruz. That's actually a pretty badass name.
Yeah.
All I could think of was Rick Santorum. I don't know why.
But of course he had to change his name so that he just sounded less brown.
Which is interesting because like Beto like grew up along the Mexican border, so like has more connection to, not somehow, by actually caring about
yeah
Mexicans, Mexican-Americans, Hispanics and Americans, like he's able to speak more to that community than Ted Cruz. Interesting enough. Anyway, he's awesome. The fact that Texas is in this tight of a race for Senate is really cool.
Yeah.
I've been talking about how much I love Texas in spite of itself for so long, and I just, please, if you can, donate or share information about Beto on the internet, or, you know, if you live in Texas, vote for him if you can, because if we could get Texas to be supportive of everyone's rights, that's such a huge part of our state that, like, the state that controls most of what your textbooks say.
Yeah.
Like, let's get them on the good side.
Yay.
That's my campaign. This has been paid for by no one.
Beto.
Beto. Beto. Oh, I've just been reading his name.
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto.
Sounds like a made-up name.
Yeah, yeah.
But
true.
He's real?
He is real.
Vote for him.
And he's sexy.
Okay. Next in news. So in the Vietnamese version of The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You saw this too?
I did. I didn't read anything about it, but I just saw the thing and smiled and moved on.
Great. Yeah. So I'm going to fuck up all of these names. I'm really sorry, people who speak Vietnamese. I cannot read these names, and I don't know if I should feel bad about that or not. They're just very difficult for my cracker white English native speaking mouth.
Yeah.
So the bachelor's name is Nguyen Duc Trung, and he gave a rose to contestant Truc Nhu, and then did not give a rose to Minh Thu. So she then spoke up in the episode and confessed her love, not for Trung, the bachelor, but for Nhu, one of the other contestants.
So, the one that got a rose?
Yeah. So she's like, I'm glad you didn't give me a rose because I'm in love with this sexy mama standing behind me. And then went over and gave her a hug. And then they have like a moment, and it's really adorable. You should see it. It's on YouTube. And then Thu attempted to give her rose back to Trung, the bachelor, because she's like, yeah, I'm down. I'm leaving with her.
What?
Yep. And then it's interesting. There's probably something cultural going on here, but Trung told her, I think that you will regret this in the future. So just think really carefully about this. I'm not going to give this rose to anybody else. You should hang on to it so you don't regret anything, which just seems very... like, maybe you should smile more or something. I don't know.
No, I mean, that seems like a very reasonable response to, like, I'm not, like, in America, it'd be like, fuck you, you lesbian cunt. Like, go, you know, like,
yeah.
So to be like, okay, and also, glad you didn't take the rose and be like, hey, runner up, yep. Get on up here.
Yep.
You earned a spot now.
Yep. Then the two ladies were together and left and ran off.
Oh.
Hooray.
Do we know what they're doing now?
Well,
moving in.
No, so in typical gayish fashion, I'm going to make it sad now.
Oh.
She decided to come back to the show after all.
Oh.
But as far as we can tell, this is the first time in history of the Bachelor franchise the two contestants went for each other during a season.
Mm.
Although apparently in Bachelor Australia, two contestants fell in love and are together, but that happened after the show. They met on the show, and they're now together as lesbians.
Wow.
In Australia.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway. Ta-da.
This has been our new podcast called Only the News and None of the Rest.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Yep.
That was a long... No, that was all really interesting. I wanted to tell you...
Okay. Tell me.
I had this discovery about stereotypes recently.
Okay.
And what I realized as I was thinking about, you know, when... Since nowadays, every time I run into some kind of gay or straight stereotype, I write it down in case I want to do my gayest and straightest.
Mm-hmm,
And what I realized is stereotypes, when all of a sudden I realize that I'm doing some stereotype, it's because I'm uncomfortable or anxious about doing it the way I want to do it.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
Like, for me, stereotypes come in the form of doing something because of anxiety that I just would normally want to do, like, probably the thing that's considered more feminine.
Interesting. Okay.
So, I just think, like, anytime we think of a stereotype, or at least anytime I talk about stereotypes, it comes from this place of discomfort. If I, like, wasn't uncomfortable with it, I probably wouldn't even think at all about it being a stereotype. I'd just do that thing.
Oh, okay.
You know?
So you think you only notice it because of internalized homophobia?
Yeah, and internalized masculinity, or I don't know if that's inter- but like,
which is what I've named my butt plug.
I love it. And I don't know. It could be in right now.
You have no idea.
We have no idea. There's no way to tell. There's no butt plugerometer.
Yep. I'm trying to figure out if that's the same for me or not. I don't think it is.
Oh.
But maybe.
I'm an anxious person.
Yeah, you are.
Do, 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 do.
I do want to real quick read this thing that I found on Facebook. This person, I believe, is a phlebotomist.
I am only a phlebotomist after I've bottomed. Then I'll flip.
Total phlebotomist. a person who takes blood.
Oh, okay.
And I want your reaction to this whole thing.
Okay.
The way our culture treats boys sickens me. I had an 11-year-old boy in my room to have blood drawn today. He was crying. Not bawling or throwing a fit, just a few nervous tears. His guardian kept telling him to man up and stop acting like a sissy. Then she threatened to record him crying to show it to all of his friends, which made him cry more. I told her we had a strict no recording or photo policy, and she got mad at me for ruining the joke.
Oh, Jesus.
When this woman went to the bathroom, I told the kid it was okay to express his emotions however he needed to, and even grown men are scared of needles. That everyone is scared of something, and he was brave for doing it even though he was scared. Stop telling boys they aren't really boys for expressing emotions. You know why women and femmes have to fear violent men? Because of this shit that represses boys and men. Crying doesn't make you weak. Fear doesn't make you weak. But berating a child for showing those things makes you one weak-ass adult.
I, like, could not agree more. If I could just, like, fall into that statement and swim around, I would do it.
Yeah.
I actually have something that I wrote that I published recently that's exactly about this, the way we raise and culture boys. Not to toot my own words. But, yeah, like, the idea of trying to shove your emotions, like, way down deep and not express them leads to violent outbursts. Yep. And is a huge part of the masculinity problem. And sucks that, like, we have to, like, think to remind boys, like, it's cool to cry. It's cool to have emotions. That thing every human does.
Yeah.
It's cool to show people that you do that too.
Alternatively, hold it all inside. Force yourself on girls. You might end up on the Supreme Court someday.
You too could be nominated.
There will be no consequences whatsoever.
Yeah.
Grab them by the pussy.
Anyway, that's not where we're going.
Do you want to talk about fairies?
Yeah, sure.
Fairies.
Fairies.
Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mike.
Why are gay guys called fairies?
It is because of Robert James Ferriton, who was the very first gay man. It was Adam and Eve and Robert. People don't talk about Robert too much. He was kind of behind the scenes a lot.
Funny, he had a surname too. Like,
yeah.
Even though he was
Ferris.
Third out of the God revolver.
You know, yeah, like by the third, God was like, he thought through it and he was like, man, if I keep creating y'all and you keep giving you one name, I'm going to run out at some point.
Yep. Yep.
No, I have no idea why.
Can you imagine, like, Adam? Adam who? Adam.
Adam. Like, Eve is like, wait, Adam? He's like, there's one person. If it's not you, it's me. Anyway, great. I have no idea.
Okay.
Do you know, or was that just a...
So it's actually kind of a mystery why the word fairy applies to gay guys. There's...
So my thing could be true.
Your thing could be true.
Yeah.
It's not, but it could be. I did find some articles that talked about the word faggot and how that became a term for homosexual men, especially. Mm-hmm. And there's apparently some parallels between that and fairies, sissies, Nancies, these other terms that became terms for a homosexual person, a homosexual man.
What's the faggot root? I've heard that it's like bundles of sticks used to be called a faggot, and then they burned gay men.
Yep.
Is that all true?
The term faggot became meant a bundle of sticks, and it shows up around 1300 in English, Old English. It almost certainly came from Old French and possibly goes back to the Greek phakalos. Those bundles of sticks were used for fires. And so the term came to mean burning sticks. And then in medieval times, heretics were burned at the stake. And heretics who repented and were spared the fiery death, which is a shitty way to go.
Oh,
if
God.
Game of Thrones has taught me anything, it's that you do not want to be burned to death. But they had to wear a picture of a faggot on their sleeve to show that that's the fate that they were spared from.
Oh.
But then the trail kind of goes murky. There's no print evidence that homosexuals were referred to as faggots before the 20th century. And the usage of that term to mean gay people definitely originated in the United States, not in England.
Man.
In fact, the British continued to use the words fag and faggot as nouns, verbs, and adjectives right through the early 20th century, and they never used it to talk about gay people. I'm trying to think of how to attribute this, because it's, all of this is coming from straightdope.com, which, if you don't know straightdope.com, it's amazing. Cecil Adams is the guy that wrote it. He's written that article, that column, for years and years and years, since the 1970s. And he's amazing. A fantastic writer. It does some really good sleuthing about these kinds of things.
I've never heard of him.
Yep. So the first known published use of the word faggot or fag to refer to a male homosexual appeared in 1914 in the U.S., It referred to a homosexual ball where the men were dressed in drag and called them faggots.
Huh. Wait, 1914?
Yep.
Wasn't there a little world war we were fighting? Wasn't that around that time? Isn't World War One?
Around that time. Maybe. I actually don't know the dates of World War One. I have a degree in this shit.
You have a degree in World War One?
Yep.
I have a degree in faggots.
Oh, yeah. Started in 1914.
Boom, motherfucker!
Went to 1918.
I like that date stands out so specifically in my mind. So, anyway,
Ernest Hemingway in The Sun Also Rises, mm-hmm. which was published in 1926, included the line, quote, "You're a hell of a good guy, and I'm fonder of you than anybody on earth. I couldn't tell you that in New York. It'd mean I was a faggot."
Oh, Ernest.
Yeah. And a 1921 site says androgynes are known as fairies, fags, or brownies.
What are androgynes?
I think like androgynous.
Oh,
like
when I asked that, you like leaned down a little bit, like you slumped over as if like, don't ask that and let's just move on from it, because it might take us down a different hole that we didn't expect to go down. Okay, that's fine.
So here, the part where it actually might have to do with fairies.
Okay.
Is that there is a progression that happens where a word that is a woman or a girl becomes a term that means a woman, a girl, or a child, becomes a term that means effeminate male, and then becomes a term for a homosexual.
Hmm.
So that happened with the word gay, for instance. Gay was a female first name for a long time.
Hmm.
It happened with faggot, apparently. They think it used to mean an ill-tempered woman. Also, and so that became one way that it might have gone into that pipeline, that it evolved into the other end of this pipeline. Is it's a term for a gay guy. And then fairies were traditionally female. There were exceptions, but they were little feminine
sprites,
pixie sprite things, and that also similarly went through these transformations and became a term for a gay male.
Interesting.
But anyway, in the 20th century, the first decades of the 20th century, that's when homosexuals started being called fairies. Not exactly sure why, but the best theory is that it's because of this tendency to take words that refer to women in some way, and they gradually transform into men. Oh, queen. Queen is the other one that they were talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That went through that same sort of
thing. Give me one example where queen is used to refer to a female.
Right.
I defy you. No, that makes sense. Flamer, okay. Flamer, does that come from faggot, because we set him on fire and then they're flaming?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to do one search. If it doesn't come up with an answer.
Okay. You, what you're not seeing here is I always get annoyed with Mike for looking things up while we're talking, because I'm more comfortable about not knowing things and making it up.
And no, it doesn't say.
Oh. I think it's when, what was Robert Ferratron? What was whatever name I gave Rob, Adam and even Robert?
Yeah.
When Robert was sent down to hell because you could be then for being gay, and he was on fire and he was like, ouch. Then they were like, oh, gays are flamers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
We're very flammable too.
Yes. Don't, here's,
more, don't, like, don't light any matches around gay people.
Nope. That's why you never see gay people smoking.
Which is also why we get called poofs.
Yeah.
Light a match near us and poof.
Yeah. Avoid, kerosene swimming pools when you're around gay people. And just generally don't set them on fire, really, is my advice.
Yeah.
That's, words to live by.
Yep. Yep.
Well, was that all about the where stuff came from?
Yeah. I do have a question before we leave the whole, like, where did it come from Do you even hear it that much anymore? I feel like it's something that I used to hear more often, like when I was a kid.
Yeah,
like a fucking fairy.
Yeah,
but it sort of died out.
Yeah, I agree. It's like seems like it's not. Maybe it's just because it's like not as strong of an insult as faggot. Like saying fairy is like, oh heck, and faggot is like, oh hell. Like, you know, at this point, if you're like, you're such a fairy, it's like, come on, like, be a man. Use a real man's word, like faggot.
Fairy is to faggot as gosh darn it is to goddamn it.
Yes. No, I don't know why it wouldn't be used as much anymore. Well, I'm going to tell you.
Do tell me.
About radical fairies.
Radical fairies.
Yeah. They're called radfairs.
Radfairs.
I made that up. That might not be true.
RFs.
RFs.
Okay.
R to the F.
Already, I love it. Those two words together is fantastic.
Yep. Right? Yeah. That combination, that visual evocation.
Militant cream puff.
Yeah.
Like put this really aggressive adjective on a not so aggressive noun. I like it. Go ahead.
Militant cream puff.
Yes.
It's the name of my butt plug. Radical Fairies is a loose worldwide association.
I bet they're loose.
They're
is that bottom shaming? Don't care.
No, they loosely associate. They're like not like a formal, rigorous, tight society. I can't. Okay. And it runs counterculture to the gay rights movement.
Great.
The idea is they're rejecting a word I had not heard of until I read this article. Heteroimitation.
Oh, okay. Like heteronormative, like acting like straight people, sort of.
Yeah, and the idea being gay people in working on gay rights. This is why they run counterculture to the gay rights of gay people constantly working towards getting to be a place where they have the same things as hetero people, like marriage equality. I think they're the type of group that like don't actually want marriage equality because they're like,
why do we want to do that straight thing?
Yeah, that's not us. We're just trying to pretend like we're straight people when let's like do our own thing.
Sure.
So they also reject the commercialization aspects, the patriarchal aspects of modern LGBT life.
Patriarchal?
Patriarchal aspects of, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
So patriarchy is when dude's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
An aspect is a really hot porn star.
Okay. Got it.
Aspect.
Yeah.
That's his name. I think it's like even in the gay world, even in the queer world, we have issues of toxic masculinity and men being stupid heads, and they don't like that.
Fuck.
was that a good detailed analysis?
Yeah. Patriarchy.
It's not good. Let's just all be more. They're like more into femininity and the earth. They have it's also a little bit spiritual, not a little bit, very like spirituality, secular spirituality is like a really important part of this. It's one of the, I think the only spiritualness or not, it's not a religion, but like kind of belief system that is, it's not gay people and religion like together. It is, this is gay. like one of the foundations is being gay.
Okay. So we're not trying to convert people, or we are?
Well,
we have missionaries.
There was
they do more than just missionary position.
There was one guy who was one of the founders who started squabbling. Obviously, when you have a bunch of fairies coming together, there's going to be some squabbling.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of an issue where one guy started being a little bit too missionaryist and missionaryista. He was a missionaryista and other dude didn't like him for that. And anyway, so speaking of this, let me tell you about the founders.
Come on, fairies, get along.
We're all friends here. We all just fly around sprinkling pixie dust around. And so the founders, so it formed during the 70s, during the course of the sexual revolution, by three people: Harry Hay, Don Kilhefner, and Mitch Walker.
Okay.
All of whom are
Mitch.
I mean, Mitch Walker, he must have had a terrible life because there's so many things you can come up, like bitch stalker, like hitch fucker. Like there's so many things you could rhyme with his name that make Sorry, Mitch. So you've had a hard life.
Itchy Mitch.
It's Mitch the Itch Walker. Anyway, okay. They're all like really notable people in our community. Harry Hay was one of the founders of the Mattachine Society.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, what's that, Kyle?
Oh, Mattachine Society. Society started after... Stonewall?
Nope.
Ah, fuck. Before Stonewall. It was one of the first gay rights organizations that started in New York.
I think that's right.
A bunch of people that were like, gays.
Yep.
Again.
We're so good at gay history.
Detailed analysis right here. Okay. So, Mitch the Itch Walker, in his... This, I'm very impressed by his... He pitched his, for his master's thesis of psychology, he pitched the idea of doing a gay sex guide containing historical information and psychological reassurance. They said, no, you can't do that. So he turned it into a book. Yeah.
He's like, this is my passion project.
Fuck it. I'm making a book out of it. Kilhefner was one of the leaders in the Gay Liberation Front. Which is also an early gay rights organization. I think those started forming after Stonewall. And the group that this group became a community center, he was the executive director of that group.
We should send the Gay Liberation Front to the Chechen concentration camps and to liberate them.
You were meant for this. Oh, yeah. This is what you were born to do.
It's in your name.
You go to the front and you gay liberate. Yeah, the bad thing is I don't think they exist anymore.
Oh.
So they'll... Sorry, Chechnya, you're staying there.
We're going to get them back together again.
That's true.
Let's get the band back together.
Oh, you're all dead. Okay. So that's going to be difficult. Okay. So although they started as mostly gay men, it's now generally open to all. And then this one... Okay, you'll have to help
Wait,
me.
Wait, so now there's lesbians in it?
I think there's all
sorts. So they're getting
shit
done.
They were like, wow, all we do is float around and think about our dreams and no one's helping build a website.
Yep.
Get a lesbian in here.
You know, all those fairies are just fucking each other and making wings.
Yep.
And get the lesbians involved.
Okay, so you'll have to help me deconstruct this sentence. So even though they're inclusive of all, several gatherings still focus on the experience of man-loving men co-creating temporary autonomous zones.
Temporary autonomous zones.
So
a location.
I was doing this in my head when I read this. Yeah. Okay. Zone, a location.
A location in which for
autonomous,
a short period of time, you have complete control over it.
You have complete control and co-creating. So I guess like getting everyone in the group
we have control.
We goose.
That's a Top Gun reference. Never
oh,
mind.
I've never seen that movie. Gayest thing about me. Or straightest. I don't know. Anyway.
Gayest thing about that movie is the volleyball scene where they're all shirtless playing volleyball on the sand. And everybody in the 80s was like, oh, that's perfectly normal. No.
Gayest so part gay. About that movie? Minutes 0 through 124. credits, less gay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Co-creating temporary autonomous zones, I think, is just being a person with other people. Like, I think we have created a temporary autonomous zone.
Yeah, but I think it carries with it a connotation that, like, the laws and rules and frameworks provided by society do not apply. It's autonomous.
The laws of the land, and now
I reject everything about the pressures put on us by the rest of the culture.
Yeah, which I think, like, in theory, the things they're talking about of, like, fuck heteronormativity, fuck the, like, us trying to pursue those interests, that's great in theory until you realize, yeah, you are not in an autonomous, like, you are within the bounds of the law, no matter how much you try to temporarily co-create autonomous zones of influence.
My autonomous zone just turned off.
We are now in a non-autonomous zone. The downside is, like, our country has decided legally the recognition of people together will be called marriage, and that's how you get things from it.
I want to marry myself.
Okay.
And then see if I can file taxes jointly.
Yeah,
with me.
Hmm. How will you hold your own hand? How will you kiss? Okay. Touché. Michael Johnson. I was just going to ask how you're going to kiss yourself at your wedding. I don't want to. I don't want to see that. You'd save that for. Remember when Carrie decided to marry herself, and so that's how she got a replacement for her shoes for this. Nope. Sex in the City.
Sex in the City.
Some people just heard that and were like, "Yeah, I remember."
You
that.
Said Carrie, and I was thinking about the girl with the blood on.
Oh,
the
no,
stage.
No, no! She didn't get any shoes.
she ruined the shoes.
In fact, she has less shoes than she started with. Another interesting thing: one of the members said gay culture was an oppressive parody of straight culture, which is interesting. And again, I don't necessarily agree with it, but there are some people that just say, like, let's do our own fucking thing. Let's put on wings and just be our own group. And
yeah.
Last thing I'll say is Harry, one of the founders, on the website, which is like, the website is like, we don't represent this group because you can't possibly represent. Again, it's like loose, so like no one can actually represent it. So it's just like, here's here are all the organizations and websites we know of to like refer to them. But about Harry, it said, quote, please hold the Duchess. Duchess, capital D, I'm guessing.
Okay.
That's what they called him, which is a very, at this point, very unoriginal nickname for, like, don't be called the Duchess. Like, come up with something creative. Like Mitch the Itch. Okay. Please hold the Duchess in your thoughts. Because he's dead. Throw glitter, be real with someone, kiss a man in public, or jack off to help Harry have a good transition.
God, I helped him like twice today.
Well, I cum glitter, so wow. I've done two things to help him today.
Good job.
Thank you. Yeah, no, like, at first, I love that idea of, like, I was like, throw glitter, that's stupid. And then it's like, well, no, it's just like, do something that is not expected or not part of what we always do or part of the culture. It's just a bitch to clean up. Stand on a tarp. Same rules as when you get into piss play.
It's as good as eating a Jesus cracker.
Yeah. Is it?
I mean, what is it? It makes Jesus as much sense.
Oh, communion. You mean communion. Okay, I thought you bought a new line of Jesus crackers that I was going to have to try. Yeah. They're slightly chocolate, which offends people.
Kind of salty.
Yeah, a little bit salty. Goes well with wine. So those are the radical fairies.
Radical fairies.
Radical fairies.
I want to be a radical fairy. Or I want to try it out. I want to see what radical fairyism is like.
I don't think you would do too great at it.
Why?
I just think they're the type of people that I so love and support. But as soon as they start, like, I don't, in my head, they're prancing around with wings on and no clothes and just saying that the world is love and we don't need to. And you'd be like, but like, do you, have you read the current politics of today? And they'd be like, no, we're flying. You know, like, I just don't know that you and that would necessarily mesh.
I would team up with the radical lesbian fairies that are getting the shit done.
There you go. That's your group. Radical lesbian fairies.
Neat.
Or just lesbian fairies. Cause, yeah. What do you have?
So, there is this idea that fairies are real.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are a couple of organizations dedicated to proving that fairies exist.
Oh.
They collect photographs and they collect anecdotes trying to prove that fairies are real. In fact, I found an organization. I forget what it's called right now. I should have saved it. But they require that you believe in fairies to join the organization. And so,
if they're not called the Peter Pan Society, real missed opportunity.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Then another word for fairy is fae, either F-A-E or F-A-Y.
Oh, I didn't know that, like, came from that.
Yeah.
And also, I now have no idea how to spell fairy because it's like F-A-E-R-R-Y is the, like, old or spelling. And
F-E-R-R-Y is wrong, just so you know. That's
well,
a boat.
Hold that thought.
Okay, great. Neat. So within this community of fairy people, there's a certain segment that
fairy people
there's a certain segment that believes that not only are fairies real, but that sometimes they bang humans and that there's fairy DNA running through the human genome.
Oh,
so some people are a fairy person.
Are you just describing an episode of True Blood to me?
Yeah.
I saw this episode
when Anna Paquin like started glowing.
Yeah.
And
like went into a different dimension or something. And
yeah, she was a fae. She was a fae person.
Okay.
Okay. So here is from a blog of Tess Whitehurst. I'm going to read her bio real quick. Hi, I'm Tess Whitehurst, and I believe life is magical. If you believe that too, you found yourself in the right place. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or tea, settle in, and explore my free magical library, also known as my blog, to your heart's content. Okay, so
that's her about.
Yeah.
I got minimal information about you as a person.
Yep, yep. So here are 8 signs that you are a fairy person.
Oh, I'm going to be so mad when I'm not going to fit them, but I really want to. Okay.
Okay. 8 signs that you are a fairy person. Number 1, you feel irresistibly compelled to laugh, jump, squeal, or dance when you see butterflies flying and or dolphins jumping.
I saw this like gif of this guy with this little baby dolphin. It is like, that man's so little, I'm gonna tickle it.
You just squealed just now.
No, but big dolphins, I'm like, you know, like, so it's only specific dolphins.
I want to know why it says and or. Like, when can you see butterflies flying and dolphins jumping? When does that happen?
At my new cafe. You know how people have like cat cafes and like monkey cafes?
Yeah.
I have a dolphin butterfly cafe. It's soon going to turn into just the dolphin cafe because, surprisingly, dolphins love eating butterflies.
You should probably move to Portland if you want that to work, because that seems like more of a thing.
Yeah. Come pet a dolphin while you're drinking coffee, because that apparently needs to be part of our coffee experience.
Number 2, you love shiny and sparkly things.
Oh, that's so gay.
Sunshine on water, light on leaves, super shiny dimes, and even glittery baubles from the dollar store cause you to feel a transcendent sort of glee. That's your sparkling fairy essence recognizing itself in the external world.
Okay, so fairies just see sparkles and they like lose their shit.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Do you lose your shit when you see sparkles?
No, when if I see a glittered bobblehead, I'm like, this is the dumbest shit that we're manufacturing. Why are we wasting our time or breath on this?
The last time I saw sparkles was because I did too many poppers. It's just like,
and you were like, ooh, and like tried to grab them, but they weren't real.
By the way, that's not true. Oh. I don't like poppers.
Yeah, but, I know.
Okay. Number 3, you love dancing and music, which apparently if you're a human.
I don't really love dancing. I always feel very uncomfortable.
It's true. You look uncomfortable when you dance. <so.
laughs> Unless I'm wasted.
Number 4, you have a sweet tooth.
Oh, totally me.
Yeah.
Are these just stereotypes about women?
I don't
like, this sounds like a list of just offensive things people think all women adhere to.
Sometimes it seems like you could eat chocolate, cookies, or another kind of sweet for every meal.
Okay. I had this conversation twice this weekend with Jack, who's my boyfriend.
Your boyfriend, Jack, who is your boyfriend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, he was like, what do you want? And I was like, let's just get a box of cookies. And he's like, that's not dinner. And I was like, well, it depends how many you eat. You could just have cookies and then you get ice cream for dessert.
Yeah. I wonder why you're not in a diabetic coma sometimes.
Oh, coming soon. I feel this impending like thing that's hanging over my brain of like, you probably have diabetes. So stay tuned.
Well, yeah.
Great.
Number 5, you often dream that you can fly.
Well, again, like part of the human experience is like having dreams where you can fly. Yeah,
but maybe even every night or at least a lot of nights. Oh. And when you do, it feels like the most natural ability in the world.
Oh, yeah, that's not me either. Damn it.
Number 6, the destruction of plants, animals, the earth causes you literal physical pain. I mean, maybe animals. When I see animals get hurt, I don't like, that's bad.
Sometimes I get in these weird moods where I'm like walking on the floor and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, floor. I just my feet are hitting your face over and over and I take you for granted. So, but I don't know. It just doesn't cause me physical pain.
Yeah. Hmm. Or the floor for that matter, because it's an inanimate object that has no sensory organs
that we know of.
Great. Number 7, you seem to know the medicinal and metaphysical qualities of plants and crystals without anyone telling you what they are.
Oh, I don't. I'm like, this is a neat looking one.
Hold a crystal or hang out with a plant for a second and admire its beauty. Then notice how it starts to communicate with you in a deep and wonderful way that is beyond words. And that is very healing and nourishing to your emotions and energetic body. Notice also how you can begin to glean information about how that crystal or plant wants to help with any number of physical and or emotional challenges. As fairy people, we are wisdom keepers. And all that wisdom needs in order to be awakened is a little bit of conscious, alert communication with the natural world. I've never picked up a crystal and thought, I'm going to have a conversation now.
The idea of it, great, healing, nature, good,
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start getting help from a rock, like when it starts guiding you in your life decisions and you're talking to it,
uh-huh.
like just do a little bit of mind check. Like, am I still sane and here on Earth?
Yeah.
Or do I need to maybe talk to a real human psychologist?
Do you need crystals in your life or lithium? Okay. Number 8, you have an irreverent sense of humor.
Oh.
If everyone is getting too serious about something, do you feel irresistibly compelled to laugh and poke fun? Yes, that's why we have this podcast. Kyle, we are fairy people.
Okay, that clinched it. Like, I could do, even if I'm only half or none of all the rest, I cannot sit in a serious situation for too long without talking about butt plugs or whatever the fuck I'm talking about.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Yep. So do you think you're a fairy?
I think I have fairy qualities.
I know that's true.
I think I can communicate with fairies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I am one. I'm like an ally of fairies. Do you think you are?
No.
You're like the opposite of all those. What's like the opposite of a fairy? Barely. Unfairy?
A saber-toothed tiger? I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Like a bald eagle?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it.
Okay, so since you mentioned it.
Oh, God.
I'm going to talk about gay head.
Oh, God. Okay, I thought you were going to say butt plugs. So here we go.
Gay head is...
Fun.
Well, I don't know. I've never been. It's a sidewheel steamer operating as a ferry.
F-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
We didn't... Da-da-da. We just said it was about fairies.
Ta-da!
Okay, but let me tell you about gay head.
Okay. You don't need to tell me.
I don't...
You can tell our listeners if you want to. I'm familiar.
Listen, I don't think you are.
I haven't gotten a good blowjob, like, to completion for I don't know how long.
Oh.
Like, when we were in New Orleans, I got that...
Blowjob that I was uncomfortably close to?
Yeah, and I didn't finish... And it wasn't that good.
Oh.
Real hammered. All I'm saying is, if somebody wants to give me an amazing blowjob, let's do that.
Okay, this is the moment if we were, like, occasionally fucked, then, this would be a very hot moment to be, like, just you wait and then, like, blow you, but that's not how we roll, so.
That's not how we roll.
So, sorry, I can't help there.
Yeah, and you have Jack, your boyfriend.
Oh, right.
Your boyfriend.
And
Jack,
I'm in
a
relationship. That's the main reason, I think. Okay. So the ferry, Gayhead,
mm-hmm.
Has an engine built by Pussy and Jones Co.
No.
Yep.
Pussy.
Pussy. P-U-S-E-Y. Pussy.
Pussy and Jones.
Pussy and Jones.
Got it.
And the Gayhead deck extends from the stern to the pilot house. I hear it's very impressive. That is something early steamers lacked.
Okay.
Now, where, you ask, did it get its name?
Where did it get its name, Kyle?
Whoa, let me tell you.
Please do.
Gayhead is named after...
It's not going to get old.
No, it's not. I hope not, because there's a lot more of this. Named after Gayhead, Massachusetts.
Oh, I do know that.
Do you?
That's a place.
It was. More info to come. So the city got its name because of its colorful cliffs. The Gayhead Cliffs. During the course of the city's it's very really small city in Massachusetts. Once Jeffrey Madison investigated the idea of changing the name in the late 1970s, but he changed his mind when older. So it's built on what used to be Native American grounds, and older tribal residents he convince him not to change it because they were very fond of Gayhead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. he said,
I mean, who's not?
Who,
if
you know,
you've been there, you know,
you just want to keep the spirit of Gayhead alive.
Mm-hmm.
He said that Jeffrey Madison is like, you know, he's like, we should all respect tradition, history, where things come from. And so he wants to
the oral history of Gayhead.
Yeah, he said he wants to do his part to keep Gayhead traditions alive,
of course,
which is fair.
Yeah.
But eventually they tried in 1991 to change the name. Didn't work.
You can't stop Gayhead.
Gayhead it was very persistent until 1997. When actually they changed their, they did end up changing their name back to the original tribal name, which the tribes were saying the name is Aquina. One of those is right. And so the tribes are the ones saying, like, hey, let's call it what it used to be. Older people that lived in Gayhead were not as swayed. They considered themselves Gayheaders above all.
Yeah.
I did not make that up. That is what the article said.
Gayheaders.
Gayheaders. I feel, even though this is a very small population, I feel like a part of me is a Gayheader.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know, there's a little bit inside all of us. But it did end up changing his name in a narrow vote. So as of 1997, it is now...
It was a slim margin.
Slim.
It was not a girthy decision.
No, no, no. It was very slight. And so now it's Aniqua. So that was just an aside about the city.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Gayhead, the steamer, operating as a ferry, operated until 1924. And then it finally gave out. Because eventually Gayhead has to come to an end.
Yeah. Yep. Gayhead runs out of steam.
At some point.
Yeah.
I have a different thing, though, to tell you about. That was the ferry, the boat section of our programming. Back to the other spelling.
Okay.
Ferry.
F-A-I-R-Y? Yeah. F-A-E-R-Y?
F-A-I. I'm going to tell you about fairy godmothers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Only briefly, because I found it, like, right when I was about to be ready, I saw this, and I was like, ah, fuck, I want to look up a little bit about this.
You got distracted by the Gayhead.
Gayhead took up most of my time. okay, so there was... So fairy godmother, not only is she that bitch in Cinderella,
yeah,
but it's also the idea of, like, a gay mentor, which, did you ever have, like, a mentor, like, a gay mentor that you would consider your fairy godmother?
Yeah, but he didn't know it.
Oh, did that he was gay or that he was your mentor?
No, he knew that he was gay. Just when I was in the closet and straight, quote unquote, my boss was a out and proud gay man. And I sort of thought of him as a gay mentor.
Yeah, I don't think I had one really. There was this Karen, academic advisor, no, career advisor in the business school when I was there. And she became... She's awesome.
She married Mitch the Itch and became Karen Walker.
Oh, I wish. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't, I don't think it's the same in the same way. That's as close as I can think of. But that's not like a helping you come out or whatever. So there was a study, Fairy Godmothers and Guardian Angels, a qualitative study of gay mentorship relationship, of the gay mentorship relationship by Neil Sharon and Emily Arnold. And basically, the takeaways from this is, as we all know, sexual minorities have a higher risk of
everything,
all
bad.
The shitty things that you can imagine, including getting thrown into fucking concentration camps. So this one, because it's qualitative, talked to 27 gay men, ages 23 to 64 in San Francisco. So it's more just trying to understand the idea with a small group of people. And they found that gay mentorship was very related to gay identity integration, not gay identity formation.
Okay.
Gay identity integration, meaning I'm gay. How do I figure out this gay community, be involved? Gay identity formation, they are not making people gay, basically. But people who...
Although, after I started working there, I did come out.
After you started working where?
With my fairy godmother.
Oh, so who knows, really?
I might not have been gay before that. I might just... That might be a totally retroactive memory.
Yeah. Yep. We question this study, Neil and Emily. Anyway, but for real, Zingdons, gay mentorship... helped support gay identity development, helped connect gay men to other resources, helped them feel part of the community, helped them manage stressors, helped have a role model with a positive gay identity. So there's a lot of benefits to having a fairy godmother. Mm-hmm. And so they basically, they said, you know, the idea would be this merits further exploration and further studying. Mm-hmm. So I hope that nowadays people have, like, it's has been so hard for people to find gay mentors. And I think in particular, like, even when I think about it now, having a gay mentor, I'm like, what if they start fucking? Like, that's really bad that that's where I go to, because that's what people that are against gay people think of us. But that still jumps to my mind immediately. So I need to, like, you know, stop that association of, like, you know, if we set you up with a gay mentor, you're all going to fuck. But,
well, and what if they do?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably not a good, like, if you're a person that's your role model and helping you get acclimated to the society, if, like, you fuck them, then that's probably not great in that. What if you have some kind of falling out, or what if you, like, something bad happens and then, like, now your connection to the community just literally fucked you. Like,
okay. All right.
But hopefully that becomes more and more common, that you have, not that you have a gay mentor that fucks you, but that you, that people have gay mentors who can help them, because it's okay to be out and people are coming out earlier. And, like, although then again, if I think about mentoring, I think I should be mentored by a young gay person. I think I could use some mentoring. Yeah. Like, they would probably be like, you're fine just the way you are. And I'd be like, really? Anyway, hopefully more and more people can have mentors and feel a part of the gay community.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not now?
Why not?
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. That's fairies.
Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. Break. Was that a fairy?
A break. That's a creepy thing. That fairy definitely fucked her mentee.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a...
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do, yes. It was a big deal, because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out, and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Sean.
And we are
Movie Geek and Proud.
A movie podcast where two gay movie geeks review current and older movies of all genres, good and bad. We also pick titles and share our opinions on films that are either not well known or guilty pleasures. But we are proud of our taste and encourage all other movie geeks to do the same.
And it's not just movie reviews on our show. We play games, trivia, movie drafts. We have guests come on and even the occasional skit.
You can listen to our show on your favorite podcast apps, including SoundCloud, Podbean, and iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at MGNP Podcast. And remember, every movie has at least one fan.
You're so cheesy.
What? How's that cheesy?
And every movie does not have at least one fan.
I say it does, and you can't prove it doesn't.
You can't prove it does.
Yes, I can. That's why we're doing this show. It's like every time you want to start with me, I don't understand.
No, you
yes,
can't.
Yes, you can. I'm telling you, they ridiculous. Always have to do.
You always do this.
Movie Geek and Proud, a new episode every Wednesday.
Okay, now I'm ready.
You are?
Yeah. Are you?
So are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest. But first.
But first.
Our website is gayishpodcast.com.
Our Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and Facebook is all either at gayish podcast or /gayishpodcast. You can probably find us by searching gayish podcast.
We have a hotline. We get text messages and voicemails. It's 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
And you can send us an email at gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
Please rate, review, and subscribe, the three R's.
The three R's. Please do those if we've... I know that we've been continuing to grow, which is incredible, and it is all because of the people that review us and our fucking hard work. Never mind. Y'all bitches have hardly done shit. Why did I? I don't know why I moved into.
You just want to be the mean one now.
I guess so.
Great.
No, I'll be nice. Please take the all of 3 seconds it takes to press your several buttons. Nah, it's sarcastically. Okay, just do it.
Great.
Gayest and straightest.
No.
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 Before we do our gayest and straightest, I wanted to say my depression has been pretty out of control here the last couple of weeks, and I had a serious no one's ever going to love me and I'm going to die alone moment. And I think that we were pretty fucked up, but you said something to the effect of you were excited to meet my person because you're certain that he was going to exist and that you were excited to see who he was.
Aww.
And that meant a lot to me. And aww. I've been thinking about it a lot. So thanks.
That's really sweet. I don't remember saying that. But I'm was that when we played games and like until like 6 a.m. or whatever? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really glad. I mean, even you saying it back to me, I still stand by what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't have told you that if because I don't want to give you too much like help or inspiration.
Right.
But no, I'm glad that that means a lot. I remember one thing that you said once that stands out to me is you said,
"Fuck you, Kyle."
It's hard to. That's what you say to me most often. No, one time you were in your marriage and I was single, and you were like, "You know what, Kyle? I just don't know how you do it. If I were you, I would kill myself."
And you still didn't take my advice.
You really did say that to me once.
Did I really?
And I don't know if that's motivational. Like, I'm hanging in there in spite.
Tell the audience it was because we're
that's
how our relationship is.
Yeah. No, that's how we joke. Okay. It was real funny.
Great.
I had to counteract your serious thing with. You will meet someone. It's going to be beautiful.
Great.
Okay.
Gays and straightest.
Yes. Oh, do we need to? Should we talk about that Portland thing yet?
If you're interested in meeting us or hearing us live, we are going to be at the Portland Podcast Festival. It's coming up November 9th and 10th. That's a Friday and Saturday. Portland, Oregon.
We don't know when we're performing yet, but just book your tickets now, Brazil.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
They liked us. They wanted us to come. We're not even in Portland. That's how fucking good we are.
Yep. We are not in Portland, but we're still going. Maybe on an Amtrak train. Oh, no.
I love the train.
I know.
We're going to die.
We're death going to die, but it'll be fun until we do. That should be my motto for life. Like, we're going to die. It's going to be fun until we do. Okay, my straightest thing.
Okay.
And this is what inspired the revelation that I had about the discomfort of stereotypes.
Okay.
I was really excited because I'm one of those asshats that got the new iPhone.
Yeah, you did.
And
did you know that it will tell you how big your dick is? Apparently.
Yeah, you can measure things with it. I haven't tried to do this yet. I did not think about the dick use case of this.
Oh yeah, that's which I've been seeing that on the internet. People are like send me dick pics, and then I'm going to use the measuring function on my iPhone to find out how big it is. And then people were like, but it doesn't tell the truth. It's bad at dick measuring, which I'm pretty sure is because it said a smaller number than they tell people on Grindr. And
you can just assume on Grindr, just like
subtract two, at least two.
Two?
Yeah.
Man, I've not been doing good at gay. I was going to say subtract half an inch to an inch.
Nah, 2 inches. Wow. 2 inches for sure.
That's all right.
That's why my profile says 14 inches.
I'm way too honest. That's a lie. Weird lie. Okay. Anyway,
New iPhone.
I was really excited to get a case. I was not going to consider if that case looked gay or femme or straight or whatever. I was just going to get a case I liked. So I walked into Kate Spade because they have cute stuff.
Yeah.
And I looked at the cases and I was very uncomfortable.
Okay.
This was until I walked in going to be my gayest moment. And then I walked in and was like, I feel awkward. Plus, like the two ladies that work there, there's no one else in there and they were just looking at me. So like, I want people to not be around when I'm looking at stuff.
Oh, they thought you were shopping for your girlfriend.
I don't think so. I was there with my gay boyfriend, Jack, who's my gay boyfriend. So I don't think there were. I don't think so. But I was looking through and I was like, oh, this one with all the flowers or this one with the cute birds or this one with the polka dots. And I was like, I can't. Like, then I started feeling really uncomfortable and like picturing like, what if I had the pink one with flowers and like.
This is your straightest thing?
Yeah. Like, I was very uncomfortable with the level of femininity of these things, and that's what threw me off, and I didn't want to be. Also, they were kind of ugly, so there's that too. But
there goes our Kate Spade sponsorship.
I mean, if they want to sponsor us, they have to start by making better shit.
Yeah, okay.
That's on you, KS, or whoever's running the stuff now. Because
She did.
Wasn't she the one that killed herself?
Was she even a real person? I don't know.
I really think she. So, what fashion icon killed herself recently? I think it was Kate Spade.
I mean,
you can look this.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she killed herself because her shit is shitty. Yeah. Suicide by hanging this June.
Shit. Yeah. This was one that like I've been avoiding the articles about famous people that kill themselves because it just elicits all these dumb people saying, but she ran a company and she like she had a lot of money or whatever. She was so good. It's like the idea that has anything to do with depression or suicidal thoughts or suicide is just for anyone with depression. They know how laughable that is because even when all things are going right.
Yeah.
Depression does not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And I forget if I've told this. Once a doctor said to my friend, she was like, very intelligent, very researched, knows her shit, knows herself, her body. Like she went into the doctor's office and said she wanted this certain test to test her blood levels because she's been depressed. And the doctor said that he wouldn't give it to her because she did not look depressed.
Ugh.
Which like, as someone who often smiles and as we mentioned, makes jokes about things because they're uncomfortable or things are too serious. Fuck that. Fuck people who think that success or money or fame or talent has anything to do with depression.
Yep. Well, as you know, I have ADD and I'm treated for it. And I early on when I was trying to get a diagnosis and get medicated, I had a psychiatrist say, you don't have ADD because you have a job.
You couldn't have ADD if you can hold down a job or something.
Yeah,
like that.
You have a college degree and you have a job in computer programming. There's no way you have ADD.
Sure.
Like, great.
I wonder how much of that I am going to catch. Gayest thing. I ran into this woman who I met a couple times at like a pride party and her gay roommate recently moved. So when I saw her, she gave me a hug and she's like, oh, you know what? It's just been so hard since my roommate left. And you know, let's hang out this weekend. I just need some Queen time. I've been missing my Queen time.
Ooh.
And no one in the history of me has ever needed Queen time and came to me.
Yeah.
I'm
not their
go-to, like, Queen to, like, just do Queeny things with. And so I either was very flattered or I thought to myself, she doesn't know me. And it was definitely the second one. And I was like, I agree, Queen. And then I never talked to her again.
Oh, what's her name? Kate Spade.
It's very difficult to talk to her after her incident.
No, you're my queen.
Even that feels doesn't feel right.
Queen of Fucktopia.
That is a queenship I will take on.
Queen of Gayhead.
Mm. I think they sunk Gayhead.
Great.
What about you?
So the straightest thing about me this week, I went to Gay Trivia on Tuesday. I do that a lot at Queer Bar up here on Capitol Hill in Seattle. And Dudeski, the bartender, the waiter, the server, what the fuck are you supposed to call them? I don't know. Came over and is like, hey, do you want another beer? And I said, yes, I do. And did finger guns. And then I made the touchdown sign with my hands. And I have no idea. But there were witnesses. Like Joseph, the gay married priest, and Chris Bola from the tasting room were both there with me. And we all just looked at me. And we're like, that's your straightest thing this week.
Do people now just say like straight, this is your straightest thing? That's like starting to happen, which I kind of love when people are like, oh, that was pretty gay. Or like, yeah.
The gayest thing about me this week is the Great British Baking Show is on Netflix, and season 5, which is actually season 8 in the UK, whatever. Stephen Carter Bailey is the sort of gingy guy that's on.
Is he one of the hot ones?
The show, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just hot.
Mm-hmm.
And gay.
Like, legit gay?
Actually,
like,
legit.
Okay, radical
gay.
Fairy.
Yeah, is a radical fairy. A baking fairy.
Baking
fairy. Yep. And I just, every time he comes on the screen, I smile.
Aww.
And I stalked him on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And then I got really drunk the other night and Facebook messaged him. And I don't know if I'm afraid to look and see if he's like seen it yet or
you
not.
You sent him a Facebook message?
Yeah.
Can we go? Can you check right now?
Sure.
Attention is building.
Da, 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 da,
oh my God.
Da, da, da.
What if he's your next love? I'm going to be so jealous if you fall in love with him in a real way, like where he exists in it too.
Nope. He hasn't seen it.
Damn it. So this is our call to Stephen McBaker. What's his name?
But there he is being gay.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Carter Bailey.
Who's that lady in the picture and why?
That is his sister, and she is totally an ally and a big fan of his and a supporter. And he's perfect and wonderful. And I want...
You want to meet him at Gayhead.
I want Gayhead.
You want to meet him at Gayhead Cliff.
Mm-hmm. That's it. This has been Gayish. A special thank you, as always, to Charlie Finn for the use of our theme music.
And thank you to Gayhead.
Thank you to Mitch the Itch Walker.
And thank you to all the fairies, boat or otherwise, for all you contribute to our transportation and enlightenment.
And thank you to all of our listeners, of course, as always. You know, we seriously try very, very hard to read everything that people send in, and I feel like we haven't. Like, it's just so much lately.
Lately, yes. Thank you for writing in. We do our best to read everything. But yeah, I feel like I've been failing at that and definitely failing at the getting back to people. So, but just, yeah, we appreciate all the things you say and all the things you write to us. And I just feel so lucky that other people connect with this message too. And it's, yeah, thank you.
That's it.
That's it.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week. Bye. Fly away, fairies.
That's me falling off a gay head cliff.
You got gay head and then you're like, yeah, this is it.
Hear me as I will sing. Hey, and by the way, do you hear what your words bring?